what seem like really basic questions because it's so ingrained in you, but when you refer to the choir, you're now referring to 74 voices?
Yes.
And what other...
Well, see, the thing with Christine is that she's been doing workshops for like a while now, and I think it's about 2 years ago we did a gig because we were touring this record with D.B. Boyko with myself.
got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes, hate in my heart, love in my mind. I seen nights full of pain, days are the same. You keep the stage shy, save me the rain. I search for never.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening for Monday, May 11th, 2010. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN, 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. And Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, we tend to...
I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your fucking head. Yeah, and I could die now, rebirth, motherfucker. Hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth, motherfucker. I'm gone, motherfucker. I'm gone.
Oh, I know. Today, for May 11, 2010, I want to share a little bit of insight from yesterday. I did yesterday's show, woke up around 4 in the morning, walked to the show starting around 5 from Dufferin and Dundas, where I live. And so got the show, did the show, had a great show yesterday, thanks to the able assistance of Mr. Bob Marley. Nothing like playing him in the background. And then after that, I went flying with my buddy Brad for like 8 hours. From like 11 a.m. until like 7 p.m. And if you check the financial district and you check downtown, you'll see some of our handiwork, some sort of quarter page size, quarter 8.5 by 11 page size G20 flyers, courtesy of another colleague, Mark, not the leader of Toronto Truth Seekers, but another colleague who's from Burlington, a member of Toronto Truth Seekers, designed some brilliant posters, so we popped them up and had a great day doing so. And it was really, really good to take the energy you get from songs like Muse's Resistance, which opened up the show today, or their concert. There's a 90-minute concert you can watch them in Seattle from Spin Magazine. So if you haven't had a chance to, I just got into Muse fairly recently. And one of the reasons is that three or four years ago, the lead singer of Muse wrote Terror Storm. The word Terror Storm on his plain white T-shirt before a huge concert at Wembley Stadium. And when he was asked about it, and BBC picked it up, a few other media outlets picked it up, he said, just Google that, you'll get a nice surprise, really interesting stuff, I don't want to explain it. And Terror Storm's a movie that by Alex Jones that shows the history of false flag terrorism. And so at a giant concert in front of 80,000 people, the lead singer Muse decides to go off like this. Now, he hasn't gone off like that in that way, since. But they do amazing work, Muse, of saying, we must resist, we must resist. And to resist, we're going to have to pick the world up and drop it on people's heads on occasion. So, postering. My colleague Brad and I were postering yesterday, little glue pens, walked around the city, warning people about the G20. Check that out. I'll have more on this in a minute, but I got to stress the reason for not just using stuff that gets you amped and inspired as entertainment. So I'm going to let Gerald Celente, again from the Alex Jones Show from May 7th, break down a bit more of the world. Let him drop the world and what's going to happen on your head.
Where do you see this going and what's happening with the markets and the next shoe to drop?
Well, the next shoe to drop appears to be happening again in Europe. First of all, what's going on in Greece is going to explode into social unrest worldwide. The people are not going to take it. I love the white shoe boy language they use. The average person has to suffer through their austerity measures so they could bail out. Who is it that's holding the bonds? It's these huge hedge funds and banks. They can't give them, here's their language, a haircut. What do you mean you can't give them a haircut? Oh, no, they won't even get a trim. You have to cover the losses. In the United States, the people accept that a lot quicker than they do in Europe. The Europeans know the story, and they're not going to let it happen. The next shoe to fall, probably Spain, Portugal, then Italy. The UK is in terrible trouble. We're going to see sovereign defaults around the world. It's happened before, and it's happened again. Let's make this 100% clear. The only people that are getting bailed out are the two bigs. They're not allowed to lose any money, always under the guise that if we lose money, the whole world system will collapse. It's kind of like, Alex, did you hear President Obama recently when he addressed the Wall Street crowd a couple of weeks ago? He called them the titans of industry. What industry? They're not making cars. They're not producing steel or building railroads. The only thing they make are profits. And they're not titans of industry. You know who they are? They're bookies. Call it what it is. But they're super bookies. These are guys that not only are touts at the racetrack, they also field the horses. Thoroughbreds that are really nags. Credit default swap. Auction rate security. That's all they are. Synthetic credit default swaps. Special investment vehicles. The whole fraudulent system is collapsing, and the governments are going to crack down on the little people so they can pay off the gambling debts made by the big losses. Number two, as the markets collapse, what they're going to do, the big guys are going to bail out. As I have mentioned, what they'll say is that the markets are rebounding. I can't make this stuff up. As I said to you just several minutes earlier, they're going to say, this is a good buying opportunity. Well, between the time I said that and the break that happened to now, I just heard the clowns on CNBC say, it's a great buying opportunity to jump into the stock markets in Europe. Oh, yeah, it's a great opportunity to jump onto the Lusitania. It's going to have a lovely trip across the ocean. Anybody that buys into the markets or that buys into these lies deserves what they get.
Gerald, I'm just speechless here as you go over this. I mean, we have the Goldman Sachs internal emails. We have the J.P. Morgan internal info. They premeditatedly, going back 4 years ago, sold governments, sold pension funds, sold private individuals, derivatives that they knew were worthless while they were preparing to bet against them. And in their own emails, they say this will destroy our competition. But the media is only focusing on the Timberwolf emails with Goldman Sachs when the others are far worse. And now they're announcing, don't worry, we're engaged in financial terrorism. Give us unlimited trillions and we'll bring back the good times. But then separately, 2 weeks ago in the Washington Post, the head of the IMF bragged. He said, for rich nations, this was the headline, the good times are over. The party's over. You're not going to be able to retire. We're going to take your pension funds. They're getting ready for it here. You know, our media won't say why the Greeks are rioting. They just say austerity. But when we talk about austerity, Gerald Celente, explain to people what austerity means under these Madoff types.
Well, what it means is that everybody's standard of living declines. They tax you to death. They make it more and more impossible for small people to get into businesses because they put more and more charges on top of them and direct all the business to the big guys. Let's make this really clear about this bailout going to Greece. Number one, it's against the European Monetary Union charter for any bailouts. Number two, it's explicitly against the European Monetary Union charter for an IMF bailout. Who's the biggest funder of the IMF? Us. We, the people of the United States, we're the people that are now bailing out the banks, the J.P. Morgan Chase, the Goldman Sachs gang, the Merrill Lynch mob, the Credit Suisse. Where is all this money going to? It's going to the bankers. Number one, it's against the European Monetary Union. And number two, now we're footing the bill so these guys can get bailed out. What you're seeing happening in Greece with the people taking to the streets is going to happen worldwide. I want to make this very clear because, Alex, this is going to lead one of the elements leading to the Great War. systems are going to be breaking down. They're not going to be able to stop the people any more than they're able to stop them in Thailand. Thailand hardly makes the news. People don't know anything of what's going on there. You've heard me say this over and over again. My expression as a Bronx guy is when people lose everything and they have nothing left to lose, they're losing it. And they're going to be losing it against the red carpet crowd who believe that they are the entitled people, that they could fix everything if only you give them anything, everything.
And I want to add something to that, because the magnitude of this fraud with banker bailouts, they're not bailouts. They make money on the way up selling the crud. Then when the governments and companies and pension funds that have bought the fraud start imploding, the government gives taxpayer money as a bailout to the private banks that engineered the fraud to then lend the money to the government or to the pension fund that's now bankrupt, and then now those pension funds are even in more debt to the same bankers that engineered it. So to quantify this, we loan the banks the money that they then loan us back. I mean, this is fraud on top of fraud on top of fraud. And you notice that as soon as they agreed to the $146.5 billion for Greece, that suddenly Portugal and Spain started going under because the bank said, look, they bought this, now let's trigger it here. And so they're holding all of us hostage, and they own the mainstream media. And so the mainstream media, most of the time, will not tell the truth. Dylan Radigan does occasionally. They let Ron Paul on sometimes to tell the truth. But, I mean, here's the Washington Post headline. For nations living the good life, the party is over, IMF says. Washington Post. But I mean, going back to that, the level of these... Wow, that was crazy. That sounded like one of those party horns. I guess we lost Gerald Celente. That happens occasionally with the video Skype connections. Our money then goes to the banks. Gerald, you got cut off. We're going to break, but start answering the question about how we loan them our money to loan back to us.
Yeah, but you see, you left one element out, Alex. You have to be fair about this. They give the government all of their toxic crap as collateral. That's what they use as the sham to make it legitimate. And that's what's been going on. The governments around the world have been using this lie that they have collateral so that they can then loan the banks money at near zero interest rate so that the banks can go back out, reloan it to us, and continuing their gambling.
All right, stay there. We got to go to break. So you're right. It's even worse than I was saying.
Right, CKN listeners, we are back. Again, that was Gerald Celente on the Alex Jones Show. He's from TrendsResearch.com. He's an international financial trends forecaster, and he's been right about these things for 20-something years. He's been making predictions in this business for years. He's wealthy. He's famous. He's been on the mainstream media several times. The mainstream media absolutely adores him for his prescience, which is great, you know, when you're an investor who wants to make money. At this point, though, Mr. Celente is talking about wealth preservation because, as he says, the Grecian contagion, or whatever crazy names they come up with for this type of thing, is going to be spreading worldwide soon. That's the plan, you know. And so, as I listen to Muse, you know, singing, they will not contone us, control us. Yeah, so you got this guy saying they will not contain us, they will not degrade us, we will be victorious and whatever. And I saw this great concert by Muse on the weekend, and I saw 50,000 people at, you know, probably Seattle's Key Arena going absolutely nuts. And I, you know, and I'm sure here in Toronto, even though Muse gets almost no coverage in our media, I've been looking for these guys since 2006, when they were 2006-7. I don't know if my dates are right on that, but I'll Google it later, and I'll look into it, and I'll double-check that for all you Muse fans out there who are particular about this, but I haven't really heard them, and it wasn't even until this weekend that I really heard these guys, and I was like, I know what you're trying to do. I make music. And when people asked Brad and I yesterday from between about 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., a few people were like, hey, what are you doing? You know, we talked to them about what we were doing, and they had some questions and some answers. And, yeah, basically, because Greece is hot right now, and I do mean it's on fire. sorry. Efaristopoli, Parakalo, all my Greek homies out there. I'm trying to get things going here so it doesn't happen here. And if we can do something here, then you guys can figure it out there. And we have been doing something here. And we've been going out and sharing information, flyering, taking advantage of our free speech while we have it, and our will to live while we have it, which is being sapped slowly and surely. But songs like this can help. Songs by Muse, songs by Marley, songs by whoever. Whoever floats your boat in whatever language, wherever the hell you live. So my recommendation is take inspiration from anybody, from everybody, across languages. It crosses cultural boundaries. Take inspiration from the greats of history and the great songs out there, but don't just use your inspiration for entertainment value. Take a look at some of the greats of today, people like Alan Watt, like Gerald Celente, like Alex Jones, Webster Tarpley, to figure out what you can do. But speaking of that, Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com is one of the best at analyzing the plans of these guys for some time now. So
chemical laboratory determined they would get to world peace. And since
I'm gonna let him break down how they're gonna get to world peace. Very interesting. The way the elite think is something that's hard to fathom. You know, we have this stereotype of greedy rich people, but greedy rich people is, you know your neighbor who won't let you borrow a cup of sugar or whatever. You know, it's our level of understanding. The reality we're given does not incorporate intergenerational, psychopathic, elitist, eugenicist families who've been intermarrying and inbreeding with other psychopaths to create, you know, a perfect sort of class to rule the world as they see it. So I'm going to let Mr. Watt break down what they've been up to for the last 30, 40 years. Sorry if it's a little heavy, but again, I am trying to juxtapose some of these ideas with actually what you can do about it, safely, effectively, enjoyably, by yourself, or if you're not a by yourself kind of person, like most people aren't, with somebody. But here's Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from the 10th of May, 2010.
We were hired by the United Nations back in the 60s and 70s to find ways of literally targeting areas of the brain of the entire human population, except for the ones who would rule the planet, of course, because they must retain their capacities for instinct and survival. They actually said that the public wouldn't need their instincts because the state would be making all their decisions for them. You wouldn't have these necessary wild instincts that help you survive. That was their idea of peace for the world. And, of course, that behaviorist there using Skinnerian technology and programming, starting with very young, well, babies really, onwards, trying to see if they could literally create the type of human that they desired, nice and passive, easygoing, would accept very little in the way of reward and be a good worker. But they also found other ways, too, to deal with the problem of people objecting, which they call violence. If you object to the state being overpowering and overbearing and domineering, you object and you get a little angry. And, of course, governments all over the world are always in fear of going too far as they plunder the public and the public purse. and having rebellions on their hands, so they thought they could maybe lobotomize them and make them much easier to handle. Of course, everyone's heard about the simple ways of doing it in the very old and tried traditions of putting fluoride in water supplies. The fluoride itself, remember, first came out with reports from an island in Japan, off Japan, where the people were very placid and easygoing, and they found that a high concentration of fluoride in their natural water. And even recently, bodies across the world have advocated this purpose for putting it in the water, nothing to do with your dental care, to make us all easygoing and less stressful. In other words, we'll accept more of the stuff that comes down the pipe from government. But during the UN's look into all of this, when they were doing their investigations and their trials, they also talked about lobotomy. They had teams working on lobotomizing people. They talked about chemical lobotomy, where they could literally target specific areas of the brain to kill off the ghost in the machine, the wild part that is you, your survival part. And they really understood at that time how to make certain chemicals piggyback on enzymes and amino acids and get carried to specific receptors in the brain. It was already an exact science. And then you had other ones talking about using injections to carry this stuff to the brain and other means of lobotomizing our thinking noggins, as they say. That's been going on for an awful long time, and they have been implementing a lot of this. They also decided a long time ago with the League of Nations, before they became the United Nations, when they first set up their Department of Population, which is population control, that the public would never, they could never see a time when the public would actually volunteer for sterilization, so they thought they'd go ahead anyway and do it covertly and simply not tell the public. And it's no coincidence that since the 1950s, the sperm count in the Western male has plummeted to only about 25% of what he had in the 1950s. It's a sudden drop. Nothing happens in nature without a sudden change in something in your environment, something that you've ingested or has been injected into you or whatever, nothing happens in nature suddenly like this. Something was introduced into our bodies, and what happened then, it was the mass inoculation that started to get put out there by various governments, especially those that were setting up national health services. Definitely tied together, and as the UN trots out its statistics every year, they're happy to tell us the statistics, and they make comments on different ones, but when it comes to infertility in the West, they just give you the statistics and go on to the next thing. But the reason they don't comment on it is because it's not a crisis from their point of view, because, you see, it's the agenda, and that's telling them it's working. Otherwise, obviously, it would be a crisis. Everything else is, apparently, according to the UN. And people will never really catch on to all of this. Same with the autism, the massive rising in autism along with the injections. You can put graphs next to each other and they're just the same, you know. Injections for a state here and autism going up as well, but the same level of the graph. It's quite startling. Lots of people at the top know this now. They didn't believe it before, but they can't do anything with it because, again, it's covert. It's mandated from very powerful institutions, and that's the agenda, folks. That's the agenda. A dumb, stupid public for world peace, which really means peaceful management by the managers. That's what they always meant by that. Because those at the top truly are eugenicists. They believe that they are the most evolved species on the planet. And that somewhere in the past there was a great leap forward, and they've proven it by getting to the top and getting the high academic positions and being, get into business, manage business, make billions of dollars, and hold on to it through generations through special, very selective breeding, like Plato suggested. They believe they're the highest on the planet, and we're all Plato's its down below. People are very confused if you ask them, what is government? Ask people in the street, what is government? It's something generally they've never been asked at all because they've never really thought much about it. Some of people will tell you that it's an institution that's there to manage your system or our system. And only a few will tell you it's a system set up to, like Charles Galton Darwin said, it's a new form of slavery that handles it better for their masters. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. Just mentioning how people react in different ways when you ask them to define what government is. It's something that's always here. It's like the guys that run the money. Money's always here. These are the things you take for granted. Why do you pay taxes? Where do the taxes go? What are they for? It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. That's what they'll tell you. And some people think government is there to help them. They have no idea. They're most naive people of all. Nicest people too. They're always the nicest people, but so naive, they haven't a clue, and they don't care to hear anything negative, like the New Agers, for instance, negative about how they're being run. That's called denial, you see. If you don't know what's happening, or there is an enemy out there, or there's a train coming towards you, and you want to plug your ears, it won't stop you from being hit by the train. Just because you don't like the idea of it doing so. That's pure denial. And most folk, as you know, will go out and vote for whoever promises them the most. Most of them today just promise to try and not make it any worse than it already is. Because that's really what people want. People really want, leave me with all the toys and the internet and the fun I've got today and the pub that I go to and so on and blah, blah, blah. Leave it like that. Let me afford to have the drinks at the weekend or whatever it is you're into, or buy yourself a little present for slogging out for a month at work. That's what people really want. Stop time. Just stop time. Don't make it go any worse. It's almost like the scene when because I've actually heard people say they're not really interested in some other country getting banged harder than they are, like Greece, for instance. Well, what's that got to do with us? You know, I'm glad better them getting it than us. That's the sort of thing they'll say. Same when it comes to war. Oh, it's better they're clobbering the Afghanis and the Iraqis over there than doing anything with us. They never realize that, well, this is a world agenda that eventually comes round to you. And the big eating machine, whether it's eating up your finances or your civilian population through warfare, eventually comes round to you. Why do you think they're using U.S. drones flown out, or at least controlled from the same military bases inside the U.S. by these guys that sit at their desks and bomb people in Afghanistan? Then they come out into the early sunshine afterwards and go for dinner with their families. Why do you think these guys are based in the U.S., and why do you think they've now got drones over the U.S.? I can't understand how people can't put two and two together. They'll show you them on television, these drones going in and blowing people up. And it's been admitted many times by the Pentagon, yeah, if they kill 200 innocents around the one person they're after, that's okay. That's acceptable limits. What are we dealing with here? What kind of mentalities are ruling over us in this new type of governance, this world governance scenario they keep talking about? Are they really there to serve you? Who really believes that government anymore is there to serve them? The idea that government was there to serve you ended when they created the political parties. The reason they didn't want political parties, there's massive arguments when they started the U.S. system up, was because they knew it fractured the people, and the parties themselves become powerful as competitors, and they turn to natural organized crime with bribery to get in and dominate. So they decided to have a republic in the U.S., which didn't last long. because the parties came along. What happens when you talk to the little psychopath that's running for your local government or for your federal government and comes around the doors and promises you this and is very attentive, and he agrees to everything you say, and he's a good, smooth talker, and you'll like them. Psychopaths are very likable people. And then they get into power, and when you say, well, what happened? You said you were going to do this for our area. You're our representative. You say, well, I can't, you see. I have to go with the party. And the party's got other plans. Well, why do you vote for these? They're not your representatives, obviously. So political parties is a con.
KRN listeners, that was again Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. So I thought I'd break out a little bit of Young Jeezy. Who dat? We dat? Who dat? We dat? We dat? They say who dat? We say we dat. Jody Red on the track. Jody Red, the producer of this track. Brilliant producer, is actually in jail for murder right now, so that kind of sucks. But that notwithstanding. Outside of chasing broads and money and vodka, Jeezy says, he starts off the song here by saying, why you keep saying yeah, because he says yeah a lot. He says, I don't even know. Then he says, I got court tomorrow. I don't need to go. I don't need to show. I got ish to do. Only God can judge me. Who the F is you? And that's important, because in a world where the New World Order is destroying religion, they're trying to replace religion with science and with a system of scientific experts. And experts that can tell you who you are and what you're worth in this system. Mr. Watt broke down some of the attacks on us and some of the hypocrisy of not recognizing these people. You know, every time the media sold Bush straight after like 05, 06, I was shocked at how people would still trust the media. Because it struck me as insane. It's like, wait. We all know that guy's a liar, you know, and worse. And so how can we just accept the fact that the media can say President Bush tonight promised to do this? It's like, well, he broke the last 1,700 promises. Like, what the hell? And what's interesting, there's a great film called Orwell Rolls in His Grave. If you haven't seen it, please do check it out. Orwell Rolls in His Grave. You can get it on DVD, or you can find it for free online, Google Video, YouTube, and so on. But it has a bunch of former journalists, a few current journalists, and a bunch of journalism professors and critics and so on talking about the media here in this part of the world, in Canada, in America, and basically saying that, you know, among the many brilliant conclusions in the film is that in the Soviet Union, in communist Russia, they knew their media was lying. You know, they weren't under any pretenses. You know, they knew, like, they were like, yeah, Pravda, the state-owned paper, you know, they're definitely lying. And they had an idea. And, you know, they still had to sort of work with the reality they were given, just like we do. Like, okay, the media lies, but then what? Like, they said it's going to rain. Should I or should I not take an umbrella? You know, you shouldn't make it absurd to not use it. You should see if it's something that you can use. All right, so you know the media lies, so how do you deal with that? Well, a number of ways, but interestingly, the system of dictatorship that some of the critics in the film said that any dictator would prefer would be our system of dictatorship, where people don't know they're enslaved, you know, don't know they should be paying, you know, 60% taxes, don't know they should be paying. I mean, there was the cover of the Toronto Star yesterday and the cover of the Metro, too. As we were walking around, I'm checking out the newspaper boxes and, you know, I could read the article and I'm sure I could find out, you know, what the official excuse or reason was, but I just saw the covers and this is my impression. Okay, so the cover of the Toronto Sun first. Off the book or off the hook or whatever. Off the book, off the one of those. And he says that over $1 million in parking ticket fines are not being paid because of some loophole that's allowing us to get away with that. Those of us who get parking tickets and don't pay them. And this makes the cover of the Toronto Sun. And I'm thinking, of all the things to celebrate a politician more for, nicking us all extra hard for parking tickets is probably the wackest thing I can think of. It's like, wait, so, Mr. City Councilor, sir, what have you been working on? Well, I've been working on trying to make sure that we can get more money out of the people who live here. How we can make sure that, you know, if some of them are escaping being fined, then we get them and we make sure we nab them and we get that money and we get their money. And the people of Toronto got to be like, why the hell I vote for you again? That's what you work on? That's what you work on at City Council? You know, and I know they say we're in a budget crisis and all this crap. But as Gerald Celente on this show, Alex Jones, as Alan Watt, as they've all explained, these people are liars. And when they tell 30 million people in the second largest country in the world, chock full of resources, that we're broke, they're lying. And we got the population of Mexico City. We got the population of Beijing, you know, the whole damn country, 30, 35 million people. And we have a massive country full of resources. You know, it's like your roommate, if the two of you got a 200-room mansion, saying, sorry, no place for you to sleep, nothing for you to eat, you know, can't hang out here, just don't have room for you. It's like, are you crazy? And so are these people crazy? No, they're not crazy. They're working for, you know, bad guys. The New World Order, as it was, the Anglo-American establishment. And so what do we do about this? Well, I started off the show talking about, you know, bringing down a little inspiration from Muse and a little inspiration from Weezy and Eminem with Drop the World. And all these things get me going, but then I wonder where to go. And I can see, you know, resistance is being co-opted, the Dockers, you know, the dawn of the new man, you know, ads for khakis, basically. And so while I'm out there going, yo, guys, men, sorry, boys to men, whatever. You know, we got to sort of man up for these issues and take them seriously and find that part of us that's able to do that. Because if we don't, then it may disappear completely. It's like a muscle. Your manliness is like a muscle. Nothing against women, nothing against anybody, whatever. It's just that if you're inclined to be an aggressive, tough, yeah, I'd fight for my country, I'd die for my country kind of guy, then, you know, fighting the New World Order ain't a bad way to sort of, you know, represent that. And not just as a matter of taste. You know, everything's a matter of taste today. Everything's a matter, there's even truth-ertainment. You know, a term coined by my buddy Brad yesterday, which I think is absolutely brilliant, because there's truth-ertainment, where you can soak all this stuff in and just go, wow, you know, look at the pretty diorama of tyranny, you know, like a baby in a crib, occasionally crying out once in a while. This is horrible. We have to do something. The people have to wake up, you know, but not actually being methodical about it. And I know myself, I've done a fair amount as a truther, but not as much as many normal human beings who are trying to make it on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars. Not Dancing with the Stars. One of those damn dances. So you think you can dance there. You know, there's kids practicing out there 7 hours a day dance moves. And there's truthers out there that are maybe absorbing 7 hours a day of this type of information. But they're not necessarily putting that type of time into thinking of what they could do. you know, if you want the answer from someone else, fine. But if you're not thinking about what to do at all out there, then it's truthers, humans at this time when we need to do something. So it's not just a matter of taste, not just a matter of what do you feel like doing today, what do you feel like eating today, what do you feel like wearing today. It's a situation where it's apparent that the major financial powers of the world are assaulting all of us. They're getting billions upon billions upon trillions upon trillions, 28 trillion according to the last sort of Bloomberg news story, major financial newspaper news story picked up by Infowars.com, of course, you know, and also numbers as high as 23, 25, 28 trillion have been mentioned by Congress people. And so they're stealing our futures because they're going to ask us to pay all that back, or that's just going to be exposed as a massive fraudulent financial scheme, and it's going to collapse the value of our currencies, in which case we'll still have money, it just won't buy as much as it used to. And in a world that's becoming quote-unquote globalized, you can't even buy local anymore because all the stuff you're going to be buying is going to be coming from overseas. So if all of our dollars are worth less, then our exports are going to cost more, and everything we bring into this country is going to cost more. And so since we don't make anything here anymore, you know, we're going to be ending up with a system of hyperinflation and starvation and so on, because that's what happens. I mean, we don't know how to do stuff anymore in terms of surviving. And there's a lot of people out there that talk smack about, you know, oh man, I get my gun and go into the woods and just chill out there, and that's what I'm. If it all goes down, that's what I'm going to do. I'll grow my own food and all this sort of thing. Well, look, I think that that's admirable. I think it's an incredible skill. I want to make sure I got a bit of that in my back pocket too. But it's. I don't know what makes you, although whatever it is, everybody has confidence in their own BS, including myself. So, you know, that notwithstanding. But logically, I don't know what makes anyone think that they can do all that then if they can't do simple stuff now. You know, if they can't go out and put up a few posters saying, yo, G20's coming, and here we go, I got one of these on me. It says here, and this is courtesy of, again, Mark from Burlington, a brilliant young truther, only been in this for about a year or so, but he's picking up fast, and he just realizes how stupid it is to just talk about this, as opposed to do something about this. When they're up to stuff, when they're poisoning our food, air, water, minds, bodies, souls, stealing our future, brainwashing our kids, turning them against us, turning them in a little green Stoppo out there, mom, shouldn't leave the light on, mom, you can't drive an SUV, mom, it's like, geez, shut up, kid, like, we're supposed to be living in first world conditions, everyone is, we're not all supposed to revert back to third world conditions, insane. So, got a little quarter page flyer here, G20 Globalist Summit. Toronto, Canada, June 26th to 27, 2010. A number of flags on it, beautiful diagrams, really, really wonderfully designed. Flyer, again, I didn't do this. I just slapped some up. My buddy Mark printed them. We had these little glue pens, these little long, they kind of look like, glue pens. They're just kind of thick, long glue pens. And you poke a little hole in the top, and you keep the screen on, and you squish them on the back of the flyer, slap them up, and you're good to go. And it's a little messy after a while, but you do get used to it. And there was a time when guys used to not mind getting their hands dirty. And ladies out there, if you think that I'm being mean by not including you, I am including you. Some of my favorite truthivists, truthers, activists, just courageous humans today include Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, include Connie Fogel, include Dr. Barbara Lowe Fisher, include Carol Brie, include a number of women, Kathy from Toronto Truth Seekers, Jenny, a number of women out there I've met who are really good at this and in the fight. But I do think that that it should be your option, and it should be the male prerogative, where if we were all attacked by Godzilla and a bunch of guys had to, a bunch of people, humans, had to go out and throw rocks at him, I think some guys should go, you know what, we'll go, you know, try the first round of rock throwing. Women, children, and the elderly kind of hang back. If we do need you, though, pay attention to what's going on. But okay, so it says here on this flyer, global currency, global economy, global religion, global military, global bank, global law, global tax, global governance, global depopulation, global tyranny, leading the world towards a new world order. And below that, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, Infowars.com, and WeAreChange.org. Another great place to find out what to do. And you can film stuff. You can take pictures of stuff in this city. Pressfortruth.ca, amazing journalism company here in this city. Again, as I've been talking about in the show for some time, I do want to keep it alive in the public consciousness. Was filming terror drills in Commerce Court, CIBC's Commerce Court, in the downtown path section of the mall. Go to pressfortruth.ca to see that. But you can catch all sorts of things, and we can't allow filming in public in our culture to become illegal, because that's a true sign of tyranny when the government won't let you, you know, film normally like you're in public. Now, fortunately, we got a Facebook-obsessed culture, cell phones, camera phones everywhere, so that may not happen. If they pick on you, it is selective enforcement, but sometimes they will selectively enforce things, so you never know. But either way, try and flex your rights. If you don't want to be the kind of guy that, or girl or human person, to be all politically correct, PC, smooth like a G.I. Joe about it, if you don't want to be the kind of person that goes out to a city hall meeting and wrecks shop, you know what I mean, and causes a big stink and gets, you know, thrown out or possibly arrested, don't worry about it. Just, again, little pieces of paper, DVDs, drop them off places. My colleague D and I, my roommate, a couple years ago, we went to a whole bunch of businesses. We did half the Eaton Center before we left, and they kind of let us do half, and we kind of took off after half. I'm going from sort of store to store, two guys in long black trench coats dropping off small flyers. And and then we left because we thought, we're not going to push it here. And you were nice enough to let us do this, so we'll be nice enough to leave. And there's ways you can work it out. And just yesterday on the streets, I didn't make a rookie mistake again. I haven't been postering as much as I used to, but I remember back in the day, I did get into some confrontations with a couple of professional posterers who were like, yo, you know, don't go, you know, over our stuff. You know, and so, you know, it didn't get really intense, but there are people that do get paid to put up posters, and then so, you know, you might be taking money out of their pockets if the promoter's not happy with what they did. And then there are, of course, the promoters themselves, whose events aren't getting as promoted as effectively, so might be taking money out of what they did. So we made some interesting juxtapositions where we basically took some of the, depending, for the sun boxes, for example, my colleague Brad came up with making them UN boxes. Put the little flyer over the S on the sun, show the UN there, show G20 right beside it, or whatever your flyer cause happens to be. Make sure it's part of the bigger structure, though. Don't just pick a cause for the fun of it and say, yay, I'm doing something good, aren't I special? You know, make sure you pick something that's related to the New World Order situation. Otherwise, you may be playing into it. And I went to the now boxes, and instead of now, a lot of them just say no. And, you know, you don't go too excessive over this. You don't try and, you know, mess with anybody's stees. And so in future, I think I will be a bit more discreet about where I put them. But it is fun to sort of have fun. And at this late date in the game, when, you know, there's a lot of people on their side playing, and there's a lot of people on our side knowing, but not necessarily playing, you know, we've got to be a bit more aggressive. And so you will start to see that. So do be charitable towards it. No one's trying to ruin your day. No one's getting in your face. We're not even yelling at people yet. Like, we really should be going up and down the streets with a sandwich board and megaphone saying, everybody, do you see what's happening in Greece? As part of the globalized economy, what's happening in Greece is supposed to happen here in Canada right now. For more details on what you can do about this, please visit TorontoTruthSeekers.com. So we really should be doing something like that. But, you know, we're not. So far. On that note, I'm going to share a little bit of Jonesy in this just for the hell of it right now. Just because I'm Jonesing too. Just because I feel like it. Give you folks a bit more of what's happening in the financial situation, because it's very important. Basically, the powers that be evil in the world are going for broke with this crisis, and they keep teasing us with the idea that we'll make a comeback. But AJ is going to break down in a really super fast nutshell what's going on, and Bob Chapman is going to chime in with his two cents. I'll be back in a sec.
Several TV news programs on always in there. I have the Goldman Sachs emails confirming this. This is command destruction. Like when a mosquito sticks its proboscis in your leg, it pumps in an acid enzyme to dissolve the cells so it can suck up the blood. They have injected us. Now they're sucking us dry. And they are just out of control. So I'm so glad we've got Bob of the International Forecaster on, military intelligence, the biggest silver and gold broker, private broker, and that's Mainline News reporting that. At the time, he had the biggest private newsletter in the world until he retired in 88. He came back in the last decade. We've been interviewing him because he just couldn't stay retired. And he put out the Gary Allen Report as well. He helped publish Nundare Call a Conspiracy. He's been fighting for 45 years. And we've got Merkel blasting treacherous banks in Greek crisis. She's now saying they engineered it. That's a head of state. So the rats are turning on each other. That's out of French news agency. Here's Bloomberg. Merkel slams Greek scandal as Goldman role examined. It's Goldman in every case, as Bob Chapman told you 10 years ago. And so to discuss what happened yesterday and then where this melt, I mean, I remember him saying 3 years ago that it would start in Greece, then Portugal, then Spain, now England, a hung parliament in England. They're saying England's got as big a debt ratio. We're already having treasury auction failures, the Fed's having to buy it. California knew when they raised taxes that it would cause less receipts. That was in the L.A. Times 2 days ago. They know raising taxes and carbon taxes is going to bankrupt us. They want to bankrupt us. They're all or nothing in. This is a criminal financial assault backed up by paramilitary military force. This is it. There's no more denial. We were right about everything. It stands on its own. You better listen to us right now. Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, good to have you with us for the rest of the hour. Break down what's going on, because if anybody knows what happened yesterday, it is that bloodhound, Bob Chapman.
Well, thank you very much. And after all these years, I've got to tell you, Alex, and I'm going to tell you once, you're brilliant. Thank you, Gerald Clem, Solent.
Right, niggas think we bullshit.
All right, just had enough time for the Bob Chapman cosign. We're going to be out of here in a sec, folks. Going to break down a couple of things for you. Some recommendations this morning. There are a couple of great articles at InfoWars.com to check out, as usual. Also, The Vigilant Citizen, Mind Control Theories and Techniques Used by the Mass Media. Once you know how they work, then, you know, you can break down what you're being given and likely why. Also, Current Consultations Calendar at TorontoTruthSeekers.com. I'll post this later. But basically, for example, request for public comments on future areas for North American regulatory cooperation, March 29, 2010 to May 26, 2010. So right now they want your input on North American regulatory cooperation or the North American Union. And so it might be worth chiming in your two cents to let people know you don't want it. But also, Godfrey-led group buys CanWest to cover up today's Metro. CanWest Global Communications has approved the sale of its newspapers to a group led by National Post President Paul Godfrey in a $1.1 billion deal that preserves jobs and pays off insolvent companies' bankers. So again, some media ownership issues, faith in politics, mayoral hopefuls see bigger role for TO religious groups. And so there's going to be a bunch of people approaching you based on faith. If they don't bring up the New World Order or vaccines harming children, then really, you know, how much do they like God or God's children? Or how moral are they, frankly, if they don't look into things often enough or hard enough to find out this? Governor General Mikhail Jean chairs the University Settlement Recreation Center yesterday, meets with children as part of 100th anniversary celebration activities. Again, fun stuff. Mikhail Jean on the cover with some kids. Cops dial up zero tolerance policy on distracted driving. And that means cell phones, MP3 players, fiddling with the radio, and so on. The bottom line is, folks, they're coming for our money in every single way. If this isn't a good time to wake people up, I don't know what is, because we hate it when they go for our money. And so here was 50 Cent's Death to My Enemies, and shortly Lloyd Banks' Better You Know Me, because it's Better You Know Me, Better You Know Other People Like Me, Better You Know People Who Know This Stuff, and Better You Make Plans Now to get prepared and to do something to stop this from happening. Again, we see Greece on fire. Let's not let that happen here in Toronto. Before Mr. Colin Smith takes you one flight up with 4 hours of jazz, allow me, if you don't mind, to shout out a couple of websites. Infowars.com overall, naturalnews.com for good health news, trendsresearch.com for good wealth news, internationalforecaster.com with Bob Chapman, who you briefly heard co-signing Alex Jones after 45 years in this game. So, you know, got to respect that. Check that out. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, the Toronto Street News paper out there, flip a homeless guy, Toonie, get some of this information to digest at a Starbucks over a big latte. The freedomlink.org, Silsa Productions, tons and tons of great stuff going on in this city, folks. But whatever you want to do, do it. You want to start talking about it? You want to share a DVD? You want to be low-key? Whatever. Don't just get used to, you know, getting used to this stuff. If you look at this stuff and you don't react, it's kind of like watching the Saw films and not reacting to all the torture and horror. If you look at all this horrifying stuff going on, the attacks on our lifestyles and our health and everything, then, you know, if you don't do something about it, then you're probably worse off for that, because you're normalizing an impotent reaction, and that's not something that we need today. So on that note, it's been May 11th, 2010. Have a great day. I'll see you guys on Thursday. This is Lloyd Banks with Better You Know Me.
Too good ain't going on with a bet. I'm winning, they ain't glad. Born ready, shot for shot, stab for stab. Too good ain't going on with a bet.
B-5.
Ain't nothing popping a tag. We keep it mad.
Bring it back.
Ain't nothing popping a tag. We keep it mad because they mad. Too good ain't going on with a bet. I'm winning, they ain't glad. Born ready, shot for shot, stab for stab. Too good ain't going on with a bet. Bad enough, we got the coppers on our tail. Niggas heating at an all-time high, the love still. Made men more than only, better you know me. Two bitches by me while the time fly by. Niggas love me.